Hello, Sid Roth, welcoming you to my world where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, Paul Keith Davis, was in a building and he saw a gathering of angels that are specifically sent to prepare things for the return of the Messiah, for the end times. But before we get to that, Paul, when you were just 12 years of age, mm-hmm. you had an experience that changed your life forever. Tell me about that.
Well, it did. When I was 12 years old, I was standing at a window, and looking outside the window, a cloud descended right outside the window and started talking to me, which was obviously pretty unusual for a young man. Was not churched, had no real background of anything like that, but I said, "Who are you?" In my heart, I asked the question, but to me, an audible answer came back and said, "I'm God." And through that experience, the Lord set parameters in my life, even as a young boy, knowing that I was going to go through several years of great hardship in our family following that experience. And the Lord just deposited in me an awareness of Him and a love for Him, even though I didn't understand it, didn't know the term being born again.
No one could ever take away from you the fact that God was real.
That's what you're telling me. That is exactly right. And I even began to pray as a young boy, not knowing how to pray, but I knew that He was out there and He loved me.
And it was almost as if scales came off your eyes to see into the invisible world, and you've had many of these encounters. Tell me about one where the angel of the Lord's hosts appeared.
Well, that happened on April 12, 2000. I was in Moravian Falls, North Carolina, my wife and I, in a series of meetings that were taking place at Morningstar. And early in the morning, I had awakened. I was having a revelatory experience. The Lord had taken me in the spirit to see some things. And right there in my bedroom, with my wife lying in bed, it was as if the back wall of our bedroom vanished. This happens in revelatory type encounters. I saw a wall of fire, which startled me, obviously. But behind the wall of fire was a man standing there. It was three-dimensional. He was very well-built man, if you want to put it in that term. He had a sword in his right hand. He had his sword lifted above his head.
Now, when you saw this, just out of curiosity, mm-hmm. the human side, was it fear? Was it awe? What was going on inside?
Take
you?
All the above. It was fear multiplied 1,000 times. But it was the most wonderful and the most terrifying experience of my life, clearly. And he looked at me, and when he did, it was as if I was reduced to the cellular level, honestly. That's the only description you can give. And he identified himself as part of the captain of the host. I believe it was the captain of the host.
And what does the captain of the host do? Is he the captain of all of the angels?
We find him in Joshua, chapter 5, verse 13, where he comes to help the people of Israel to distribute, to take the land of the promise and distribute the inheritance. I believe he's doing the same thing today, that we as a generation of people are about to inherit our promises. And I believe there are giants, if you will, spiritual giants of addiction, unbelief, all these things that are inhabiting the land. And I believe God is going to raise up a militant people that will begin to take the promise and begin to live it out in this generation to bring in the harvest.
Okay, Paul, can just normal people have the spiritual scales come off their eyes and see angels and say something? You should have heard what he told me before we went on the air. It was in England, and he was talking about religious spirits and what happened.
Well, that evening, just a couple of days ago, as we were addressing this spirit, this prevailing spirit over Sheffield, England, that spirit showed up in my bedroom, of course. The Lord protected me. There was nothing He could do to harm me.
But God said something to
you.
What did He say?
He said, interestingly, He cannot harm you, but don't let him spit in your eyes. Which, a cobra, he came in the form of a serpent, a cobra, which was symbolic. That's the way the images are in the Bible. And a cobra can spit, and I believe that meant don't let him steal your vision. Don't let him take from you what I, the Lord, am wanting to show to you for this region of the country.
All right, let me go back to that question. Can just average people see in this invisible realm have what's called a seer anointing?
I am firmly of the belief that any person who has God's Spirit can see by revelation. And I'll give you the scriptures in Revelation chapter 3, where the Lord Himself is speaking to the end-time Laodicean church, is what the Bible calls it, the age, I believe, in which we're living. And he says, I advise you, I give you counsel to buy of me gold refined by fire, white garments to cover the shame of your nakedness, and eye salve that you may see.
But will you pray later on for that eye salve so that we all can see? Wouldn't that be great so
Absolutely.
That all of us can see? And I want to find out more about these end time angels that he saw, what their purpose is, and how we can cooperate with them. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Paul Keith Davis. And Paul was in a building, and all of a sudden it was as if spiritual scales came off of his eyes, and he could see angels. Tell me about the angels you saw, and what are they called?
It was in October of 2003, stepped into a church service, about 1,600 people in worship. Don Potter, my friend, was leading worship, and as I stepped in the side door of the building, to my surprise, with my first step, I saw the people in worship. By the second step, literally something overshadowed my eyes, and I saw the people as I had seen them the moment before, but now I could also see in the spirit realm and all across the back of the building from one corner to the other, about 6 feet apart, were angels.
About how many angels?
I would say probably two dozen, maybe a little less. I'm not sure exactly because I didn't count. It was a very wide building. Mm-hmm. They were about 6 feet apart. They were all clearly taller than me. I was about 25 feet from them. They looked to be about 7 feet tall. They each had on a white robe. Some had a golden sash. Others had a belt around their waist made of a golden rope-like material. The countenance of this angelic host was very inviting, very kind, very loving. Unlike warring angels who are pretty serious mm-hmm. beings. But these were standing almost at attention, and I asked inside of my own heart, I said, who are they? And instantly I heard the Holy Spirit say, they're angels that gather, a phrase I had never knowingly heard before. And so I sat next to the pastor and I said, they're angels all across the back of your church. He said, what kind? I said, well, angels that gather. You know. Mm-hmm. And as I sat there a moment, I said, you know, I need a scripture. I'm a word man. I believe in the Word of God. So I got out my little Franklin Concordance, and I looked up angels and gather, and there it was, right there in Matthew 13, verse 41. The Bible says, the Son of Man, the Lord, will send at the end of the age angels that gather out of His kingdom all stumbling blocks and everything offensive. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of our Father. So I knew by virtue of seeing them that, number one, we're in the end of the age, that this is the age of the harvest.
That's a pretty exciting thing. Now, when it's the age of the harvest, that doesn't mean it's within 1 year necessarily, but it doesn't mean it's not within 1 year. What does that mean to you?
I don't know the timing. I love what Billy Graham has often said, a great man of God. He said, one thing I know about the harvest, it's short. And I don't know how many years we have, but I do know we're in a season of harvest. I do believe this from the revelation the Lord gave me, that the harvest will take place in two phases. That the first wave of harvest, the first ingathering of souls that we're going to see at this point in time, will ultimately become the laborers in the great harvest. So we're going to have a wave of harvesters. We're going to bring them in. We're going to train them. You're going to see in this day a great emphasis on equipping, mentoring, training. Fortunately, the Lord is going to give us a grace to be able to train up this generation in a year where it took us 10 and 15 years. And in a very short period of time, this army of people will be released on the earth, and they're going to begin to bring in the greatest harvest the world has ever seen.
Now, let me take you back to 1990, mm-hmm. And you were watching a video on Branham. Mm-hmm. Tell me about that experience.
1989 was when I began to pick up the mantle, if you will, or walk in the commission the Lord gave me. And of course, I was unchurched, never heard of William Branham, never heard of A.A. Allen, never heard of Catherine Kuhlman, never even knew there was a Latter Rain revival. And I went to a meeting in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and a man loaded me up with a number of materials from the past, and one of them was on William Branham. So I plugged the video in, and the moment I saw that man beginning to minister, up until just months before, never even knew he existed. The moment I saw that ministry, something exploded in me, and the Lord said, this is the destiny of your generation. And I began to be set on a course to understand what that ministry represents. I had never seen anything.
But what
like
does it mean, the destiny of your generation? You mean there'll be more than one person like a William Branham with those gifts?
Absolutely.
And as a matter of fact, a picture's worth a thousand words. We have video footage of William Branham, but before we show that, tell me what his ministry was like.
Well, you know, I never knew William Branham, of course, but from what I understand, he moved in a realm of power that was unlike anything that many historians say since the early church. There was a divine presence, and that's really what we're after. You know, it's not about a man or a woman. It's all about someone that can become the tabernacle of God, that God himself will come down in a meeting and begin to demonstrate himself doing what the Bible said would happen, the greater works. And so that happened. William Branham moved in that realm, and the one thing that characterized his meetings most of all was the power of God's presence. And that's what we're after, ultimately, that God himself will begin to attend our meetings.
I mean, I'm in awe when I see he just looks at a total stranger. Mm-hmm. He knows what they were doing that day. He knows their name. He knows where they live. And he also knows what's wrong with them.
Right.
He doesn't even have to ask. And then they're healed. Let's take a look at this video footage.
Of course, you're sick. And you're suffering with a condition. It's a dark spirit around you. It's death. And it's in a form of cancer. And the cancer is located on the breast. And you're seeing, you're examined by someone strong, and you got a ruptured condition. And the rupture is in the bowels. And you have a stomach trouble also. A severe heart trouble. It caused you fainty. Here a few days ago, you're sitting sideways on the side of a bed and nearly passed out looking towards your window. Are those things the truth?
Yes, it's all true.
All true. I believe you're from out of town.
Yes, sir.
You come from a capital too, Richmond,
yep.
Virginia. You have a cancer. It's in your inside of your mouth, on your jaw. Is that right? You want to go home and be well?
That's right.
Accept Jesus as your healer.
Yes, sir.
And in the name of Jesus Christ, may it leave the man. Go away from him. Amen. God bless you, sir. Now, you're not here for yourself. Although you're nervous and run down, but it's been caused by a disease of this child. This child here is suffering. It's been turned down by the doctors to die. It's leukemia. Isn't that right? You've brought the child from out of town. You've traveled, coming from the west, coming east you have come. You've come from a state that has mountains. It's Pennsylvania. And your city, I believe, is Chambersburg, isn't that right? Bring the child to me. Little sister dear, the Lord Jesus was here. He'd lay his hands up on you, and death would leave you, and you'd live. Do you believe that I am his servant? Then in his stead, I lay my hands on this child and bless it, and ask that the demon leave the child, and that life comes to the child, and it will live and be well.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Paul Keith Davis. And Paul, you were telling us about Branham and how when you studied Branham, you were almost under a mandate, but then you studied many other great people mm-hmm. besides Branham. Well, why do you do this?
You know, many of the people that lived in that generation and even the early part of the century are somewhat controversial, or some think so anyway, and there's some misunderstanding perhaps about some of the ministries, but one thing is clear. They walked in God's manifest presence, they walked in power, they delivered people that were oppressed, and they won the lost. And that's what we're ultimately after. And so, in many ways, it seemed as though some of those people in that generation were born out of season. What I mean by that is many in their day didn't understand their ministry, but the Lord said that's because they were prototypes of what's to come.
So and can you see 100,000 young people operating like William Branham in the last days, which we're in now?
I believe there will be a company of people that will function in that level of anointing with a manifest presence, because this is what William Branham, I believe, ministered in. It wasn't just a gift of the word of knowledge. It was Hebrews 4:12, the living word discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. And we're all to be anointed with the living word. When I say the living word, that's the manifest presence. The Bible in the Greek calls it the parousia. And that's the manifest presence of God anointing a body of people to discern the thoughts and intents of people's hearts. Why? Not to impress them, but to let them know, surely God is in this place, as it says in the Bible. And to provoke the lost to accept the Lord. And if we reveal secrets that they know that no one knew but them and God, that will get their attention.
Tell me about another person, Marie Ruth Etter. And I love the way he says that these are prototypes, which means these, and we'll get into it in a few minutes, these angels that gather are cooperating with us as we cooperate with them to accomplish these end time destinies. Mm. So tell me about Marie Ruth Etter.
Marie Ruth Etter lived in the early part of the 20th century and was probably one of the most powerful people of the early church. She functioned in a way similar to William Branham. Her meetings were known for the glory. The glory of God would come into the tents. She traveled in a covered wagon, you know, from different parts of the country. It's reported that many times people would be slain in the spirit, 10 and 15 miles from her tent as they walked the streets of the cities. Now, this was reported not in Christian media, but in secular media.
So you're saying like 10 or 15 miles, the presence of God would come on someone and they'd be flattened like a pancake.
That has been recorded in secular media. And many of the miracles were recorded.
And you know what you told me when we did a radio interview, which I thought was so fascinating, is how she learned the Bible.
Mm. She had an experience, she said, as a young lady. She had a lot of hardship, had buried some of her children, always wanted to be in ministry, but couldn't because of the hardship of the age in which she lived. And she tells in her journal about one day when she turned around in her little cabin and there stood the Lord Jesus Christ right there in her midst. And he asked her a question. He said, "Why aren't you in my vineyard?" She said, "Well, Lord, I'm a woman." And I was pretty sure the Lord knew that when he showed up, but apparently he didn't have a problem with that. So then he asked her again, "Why aren't you in my vineyard?" She said, "Lord, I don't know your word." And she said, she wrote in her journal that the Lord drew her attention to a spot on the wall, and she looked, and there supernaturally imposed on the wall was an open Bible. And she said the glory of God was emanating from it. And she said the moment her eyes fell on it, she understood it from Genesis to Revelations. So then the Lord asked again the third time, "Why aren't you in my vineyard?" She said, "Lord, you give me the power you gave those Galilean fishermen, and I'll go." He did, and she did. And so 44 years of miracle ministry without one tainted thing taking place in her whole life.
So there'll be a company of people that will be moving after the same miraculous ministry that she had.
I believe that's the promise of God.
And so that's why you're studying all these people, because they're prototypes of what's available to us. Tell me about that vision you had of the lid coming off of hell.
About a year and a half ago, I had the most impacting revelations, where the Lord allowed me to see into the spirit realm, and I saw that a restraining force had been removed. Because we're in the end times, a lid, if you will, it looked like a lead manhole cover, was lifted, and I saw evil spirits coming out of it. It was very terrifying. It was one of these experiences that I was actually audibly articulating while it was happening. My wife was listening to me. She didn't know what was taking place. But I saw these evil beings coming out from hell, if you will, and they began to manifest themselves in the bedrooms of people on the earth. And I saw them teaching people how to walk in realms of darkness, realms of evil that perhaps we've not seen in our generation.
Just out of curiosity, do you think sometimes these demons operate through secular television programs?
Clearly they do.
I mean, I can, as you're describing that, I can picture them just manipulating the performers on secular TV to say certain things.
The media is
number
one. And
release that into them.
Prince of the power of the air. And certainly they're using every forms of media to try to present a perverted, distorted point of view that's keeping this generation from seeing the call that we have placed upon us. The enemy is trying to circumvent the harvest. That's what he's trying to do. And he's using every means possible. And as I saw these beings coming out of this realm of darkness, it seemed as though couldn't take anymore. I mean, it was so overbearing. And then suddenly I heard a voice, audible voice, come out of heaven saying, and the sons of light must respond in like fashion. And I saw angels coming out of heaven, specially prepared angels just for the end of the age generation. And I watched the angels as they were manifesting in people's bedrooms, like they did in the Bible, like they did with Paul and as they did with Peter. And I watched these heavenly messengers beginning to teach the end time people how to walk in realms of glory, realms of revelation, realms of power to begin to bring in the harvest. And so what we're seeing then is this acceleration that is taking place between light and darkness for this end time confrontation.
You know, it's so clear. I think someone that doesn't know God could see it as clear as someone that knows God. I've never seen such a contrast as we have today.
And it's going to only get worse, only worse. And it's time. If we don't respond, if the church does not respond, God's people doesn't respond to the needs of the generation, who will?
Tell me about these angels that gather. What do they do and how can we cooperate with them?
The angels that gather are here, I believe, for multiple purposes. And we're discovering that the harvest is way more than just evangelism, just winning souls, although that's paramount, that's very important. There is a preparation that is taking place with a company of people to begin to pick up mantles, if you want to use that term, pick up commissions like Joshua picked up the mantle of Moses, Elisha carried on the work of Elijah. Very much the same thing. So the angels that gather, the Bible says in Matthew 13, are sent, number one, to remove stumbling blocks. Well, our first thought is, well, there's stumbling blocks out in front of us. But right. We're discovering that most of the stumbling blocks to our destiny are within us.
Right.
And so they're putting their finger, God is putting His finger on issues of our own lives that are preventing us from walking in the highest realm of our calling. And so right now, I believe these angels have been released to people helping.
So they're going to clean us out. After a clean out, what are they going to gather to us?
The next aspect, if you want to put it that way, will be the anointing, the equipping of the people. Once we're clean, then God's going to put a mantle on us, an anointing of power, an anointing of revelation. Then they're going to work with us to bring in the lost. We have numerous testimonies of us releasing the angels that gather.
Tell me briefly that testimony.
It happened just last week, one of the most encouraging ones. I was in a meeting in Texas. We released the angels that gather. This young man, he was 30 years old. His mom and dad were in the meeting. And as we prayed to release the angels that gather, their son, who I met, was steeped in drug culture, other things that he didn't need to be in, and was just about to make a move to Las Vegas to just completely give himself over to darkness. 2 weeks after we prayed the prayer and released the angels that gather, he said, out of nowhere, his heart just became so provoked and pricked that he came to know the Lord. He's now walking with the Lord Jesus, training for ministry.
Pray for a release right now for the seer anointing, for it to be able to see in the invisible world.
Outstanding. So Lord Jesus, right now, according to your word, you said that you would send the angels that gather to co-labor with us, to prepare us, and then to release us into this age of the harvest. And we do that just now. We release these angels to work with us. Lord, we release them to bring in prodigal sons and daughters, to bring in prodigal husbands and wives, and to release us into this purpose. Grant it, God. And Lord, I ask that the seer anointing be released in Jesus' name.
Done.